Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. You can find details for this show at mulliganstew.ca. And on that site is Tasting Room Radio. There's a podcast, and of course, there's the Mulligan Stew Radio. In a normal year, we all in the media trade get press releases talking about pours and special events and gatherings. But after the last 2 years of the pandemic, to see a press release come in that actually reads, "Please join us, the heart of wine country, the Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Winery Association annual spring release tasting, Wednesday, April the 13th at Terminal City Club, Hastings Street in Vancouver." So with the help of Dana Lee Harris from Dana Lee Harris Consulting, and also from Dana Lee Consulting Karen Madsen, and from the Heart of Wine Country, Shauna Thompson, Karen did the prep and then handed off to Dana Lee. Dana Lee Harris was a warrior. She was a wicked wrangler. Nobody ducked the curled finger that she pointed at and said, you have an interview to do. She was fantastic. Thank you for putting me together with these 13 wineries we're about to talk to. I managed to wedge 7 wineries into this hour. So we're going to be talking to Rob Hammersley from Black Market Wine Company, Blasted Church Vineyard sent Evan Saunders, Mario Rodi is there on behalf of Bonamici, and the Winery Association, because he's the president, Tisha Pope from Crescent City Winery, the delightful Terry Meyer Stone from Mayhem Wines, and Jack Meyer and Janice Stevens from Meyer Family Vineyards. And we finish with his first interview on Tasting Room Radio, Daniel Bibby at Nighthawk Vineyards. That's part one of our coverage of the pour that happened literally days ago. They all brought their best new wines and they poured at Terminal City Club, and it was incredible. I can't believe I got it all accomplished. We're working on the video end of this. I botched it big time, but we may have a video compilation as well on our YouTube channel with the help of Corey Wood. Here we go. This is Tasting Room Radio, the heart of wine country, Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Moon Cursor are delighted to let you know that the Tasting Room reopens April the 20th. And you just might want to think about joining the Moon Cursor Wine Club. You pick the wines you want for your club shipments, and you get first dibs on new releases, and shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And don't forget, they open the Moon Cursor Tasting Room in just 4 days. All the details at mooncursor.com. I'm told this is the 10th annual Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake wine pour in Vancouver, but I could ask that at the end of this and we'll probably have a different number. But we have to start alphabetically, and I'm pleased that Black Market then becomes the first B in the list. And I have Rob Hammersley, the co-founder and winemaker of Black Market. Is Michelle with you?
She is. She's manning the table right now.
How was your 2 years of COVID?
Quiet. Well, from events like this, this is the first one we've done since COVID hit.
I think it's the first anyone's done.
Yeah. It's nice to be out. It actually feels kind of weird. I'm not going to lie to you. Just getting in front of people and actually being able to talk and actually watch them taste your wine.
I saw people shake hands.
Yeah, I know.
And 2 people hugged.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's been a busy couple of years.
How did you write it out in terms of wines?
Lots of online sales, so that part of our business has gone really well. A lot of virtual events, which has been a big change for us. I'm not all that comfortable on a camera, but kind of had to as a necessary evil as part of keeping that engagement with our customers. So it's been great. It's helped us reach new people, and it's nice to be back in person, but.
Now, I know it's the Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake titled thing, but where does Culloden get in there?
So we are on the west side of Skaha Lake, in between Penticton and Okanagan Falls. It's an absolutely beautiful little place. I think if you don't really know that it's there, you would never know that it's there. It's in between
because
the highway.
Because you see the cars going by.
Exactly. You drive by, and it's a beautiful little hamlet in between the shores of Skaha and Highway 97. And it's kind of an up-and-coming place. We said that when we bought our place in 2018. We kind of knew that it was one of the last frontiers of the Okanagan. And there could be up to four or five wineries this by the end of this summer.
What was planted down there?
Our vineyard has Bacchus, Merlot, and Pinot Blanc. And most of our vines are 36 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you were starting fresh, what would you plant down there?
If you asked me this 3 years ago, I wouldn't have included Bacchus in the list, but this is actually the wine I've chosen for you. It's a pretty cool grape that is, it's probably the coolest grape that people don't know of.
Why did it get sort of, it got a sort of a not great handle many years ago?
I think because most places make it in a sweet style or off dry, and I like to take it bone dry. This has got less than 2 grams of residual sugar, and there's so much fruit. There's orchard fruit, there's tropical fruit, there's a savory herbaceous side to it. It has a lot of depth and complexity, really crisp and clean on the finish, and fantastic to pair with lots of different types of foods.
Such as?
Greek food. Yeah, Greek salads, souvlaki. There's savory note that you find in Greek food that has that freshness as well.
Give people an opportunity to compare. What is it, Bacchus, what does it remind you of?
So the parentage of Bacchus is Riesling, Sylvaner, and Müller-Thurgau. Now, Riesling and Sylvaner is Ehrenfelzer. So that's a fairly common grape in the Okanagan. So it's got a lot of the same characters as those grapes, as the parents, but it really is unique on its own.
You know, Rob, you were saying that you make wines for people like myself. Who is that?
I think people that just enjoy wines, that aren't afraid to try something new. I'll be honest with you, when we did our first varietal bottling of the Bacchus last year, I was scared. I think, who's going to buy this? No one's going to know it. They're going to think it's a hybrid. They're going to think it's a red grape. We sold out in 3 weeks. We had people that came to our tasting room only to try the Bacchus.
Black Market, wonderful wines. The co-founder is Rob Hammersley. I also made note that you have the 2021 Omerta.
Yes, that's our Cabernet Franc Rosé. First year we've made it from Cabernet Franc. It's usually been Syrah.
100% Cab Franc?
Yeah. Yeah, direct press style, so very Provençal in its style. Very authentic to the 2021 vintage, which was obviously a fairly hot year, so there's a little bit more weight to it than typical, but still fresh and green and crisp.
I like the fact that you brought a 2020 Pinot Blanc barrel-aged.
Yeah, so that's another grape that we kind of take a bit of a unique spin on. It's a fantastic grape for the Okanagan. It does very well from north to south. But I think most wineries tend to do it in a bit of a crisper, cleaner style. Ours is more akin to a barrel-aged Chardonnay, but maybe not quite as buttery and not quite as full. It's got all that crisp orchard fruit, nice acidity, but that subtle nuance of the vanilla from the oak.
Just between you and I think it's the direction the Pinot Blanc should be headed in
it's
the Okanagan.
It's capable of so much more than I think a lot of people give credit for.
Oh, yeah. Show it some love.
Yeah.
Black Market, the co-founder is Rob Hammersley. Now, what else? The 2021 Nothing to Declare.
So that is our ancestral method Petnat, or sparkling rosé. Cheers. It's made from Cabernet Franc. Now, what we do when we make our rosé, we use free-run juice for the still for the Omerta rosé. And when we get into the press fraction, we use that separately, and we do a wild fermentation to make a natural-style sparkling wine.
What else are you pouring over there? The Merlot?
Merlot. Also estate grown at our place in Culloden. And it was 30 months in barrel, just bottled 2 weeks ago. So it's a little bit new, but it's really silky. It's because our vines are so old, they are naturally low yielding. We don't have to drop any fruit, and we still get less than 3 tons an acre.
Are they happy vines?
They're very happy vines.
And of course, any vine that's old has worked its way into it, actually where it's going to live for the rest of its life.
And each of these, they have their own story to tell. Our whole vineyard was planted to Bacchus originally. And then about 10 years in, the previous owner thought, okay, well, I should have some red grapes. So he field grafted Merlot onto the Bacchus rootstock. So we have some vines that half of the vine is Bacchus and the other half is Merlot.
Do they get along?
They do. And we will sometimes use a little bit of that Bacchus in the Merlot if we do a single pick.
What are you going to do? We know what you did with the last 2 years. What are you going to do with these 2 years coming?
We're kind of hoping for a good season in the tasting room. Like we opened our tasting room in July of 2020, so we've only known COVID.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the potential is in terms of traffic and visitors. We've had a couple of really good years, but we're really hoping to sort of see a lot more people this year.
And Rob, how do you get them to turn left or right down into Culloden?
Highway signs. And word of mouth. We get a lot of people that are recommended to them by other people that have come for a visit. So it's definitely more word of mouth, but a little bit of highway signage helps.
Well, here's my recommendation, the first one of the day. Black Market, wonderful wines. The co-founder is Rob Hammersley, along with Michelle, who's pouring. Way to go, Michelle. And they're in Culloden. Go and find them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thanks.
What's your website?
Blackmarketwine.ca.
This is Tasting Room Radio, a home for passionate fans of food, wine, and friends.
Tisha Pope has joined us here in the studio, which is or three chairs in the corner of this room filled with trade people, and there's going to be more trade people coming. It's the 10th annual, so I'm told, Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake Winery Association Pour in Vancouver at Terminal City Club. It's a big deal because it's the first pour in 2 years for the whole virus and the COVID lockdown. We couldn't do this for 2 years. Now, Tisha, what does it feel like to be in a room pouring for people and actually shaking hands and saying hello?
It's really exciting. I've been a little nervous because I haven't done this in 2 years.
Did you forget?
I think I might have. Some little things. It's all starting to come back. It's like riding a bike. So hopefully, you know, I'm doing okay.
How are things at Crescent Hill?
Oh, amazing. We've had some incredible growth. Lots of changes. I've taken over from my mom. So it's really exciting to be able to put my own spin on everything and make it my own.
What are your influences then in your spins? Are you seeing someone else doing something and thinking, okay, let's go in that direction?
Yeah, I like to look at what everybody else is doing, and you know, I see something I like, I want to incorporate. If I see something that I'm like, oh, that's not us, I just want to be a very inclusive winery. I want people to have fun and to enjoy themselves without having to feel that, you know, that they're not welcome. We're a very fun, welcoming place with some fantastic wine, and the fact that we have such a really cool history because of my grandpa, who I call the godfather of wine, smuggling our vines in and having almost 50-year-old vines on the property is pretty cool.
One of the wines that you're pouring today is actually named after him.
Yes, it is. The Gewürztraminer, which we named after him. So the Glen Allen Private Reserve, which is our flagship wine.
Were those his vines?
Those were the we're still using the vines that he smuggled from Germany, the River Rhine district, back in his suitcase. So they're huge, like tree trunks. It's really exciting to be able to show somebody, take them down and show them the original vines, and that we're still producing incredible grapes from them. That was the wine, the grape that he fell in love with, and that is basically because of that. That's how we have the winery and the vineyard that we have today.
Tisha Pope, Crescent Hill Winery, at the 10th annual Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Pour, Terminal City Club, Vancouver. Tell me about the 2018 Blanc Noir, because that's you know, years in bottle. What happens to the properties of the Blanc Noir?
So the Blanc de Noir is a newer varietal for us. So it, again, a Pinot Noir without the skin contact. We've had a still version for the last few years, and we decided because I love sparkles, so we had to sparkle it.
The Okanagan Girl, the Chardonnay 2018, there's something else written on the bottle. What does it say?
It says Oak. A Noggin Girl. But kind of play on words because, you know, we're in the Okanagan and it is our first oaked Chardonnay.
This is it. Oh, let's try it.
Right here, yes. I call my beginner's oak. So for the people who don't understand an oaked Chardonnay or they are not into it, this is a perfect one to introduce because the oak just is such a gorgeous complement to that fruit. And then that really gorgeous at the end, you get that butter and caramel. I could just, you know, this is just such a really nice, clean Chardonnay.
Neutral barrels?
Neutral barrels, 10 months.
Very nice. Nice, nice, nice. And tell me about the 2019 Malbec.
Oh, yes, the Lost Buoy. So that is our incredible winemaker, Leo, his passion project. So Leo is from Argentina. it was basically bringing his old home to his new home here in the Okanagan with us. So it is absolutely beautiful, and we named it the Lost Buoy, or the Boy, for Leo, because he literally has traveled the world, and he found home with us. So
Malbec likes it in the Okanagan.
Oh, it does. It really does. We have the perfect climate for the Malbec.
What's the website for Crescent?
CrescentHillWinery.com. Okay. Yeah, and then check us out on Instagram. So Crescent Hill at Crescent Hill Winery.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Tisha Pope, Crescent Hill Winery, at the 10th annual Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake, Poor, Terminal City Club, Vancouver.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. Moon Cursor are delighted to let you know that the Tasting Room reopens April the 20th. And you just might want to think about joining the Moon Cursor Wine Club. You pick the wines you want for your club shipments, and you get first dibs on new releases, and shipping is free for 6 bottles or more. And don't forget, they open the Moon Cursor Tasting Room in just 4 days. All the details at mooncursor.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Kelowna home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post. I just got this note from Devlin Barker at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. Just up the road from The Hatch and the first JPC foray into the world of craft beer has been an incredible success. You can find all the details at jpccustoms.com.
This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're at the Terminal City Club. Well, they tell me it's the 10th annual Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Pour. Started as Okanagan Falls, added Skaha Lake. And I've seen some people I haven't seen in a couple of years, simply because of what we all went through. One of them, of course, is Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church. How were those 2 years up the hill?
That's been good, been eventful, between, you know, the COVID and everything going on there, and, you know, fires burning all around and heat domes, and
freaking heat dome.
Heat dome. It was. It's hard to explain what 48 degrees feels like.
I know what it did to the humans. What did it do to the plants?
So it ended up really light crop. Berry size ended up being really quite small, and even seeing in a lot of grapes where you're used to seeing just 2 seeds, sometimes you're seeing 3 or 4 seeds in there, and just a stress, kind of like a stress reaction from the plant to put out more seeds so it can propagate more. And so it was kind of a small crop year. It was just a little bit of everything that we could have.
Do you think, Evan, that we have to remind people where Blasted Church is?
Yeah, so we're located on East Side Road between Penticton and Okanagan Falls. So we are on the Skaha Bench, so it is our little sub GI now. We kind of just look up above if you're driving along East Side Road, and there we are.
How many other vineyards do you pull from in the Okanagan?
So we have 40 acres of estate fruit, and we buy from about another 60 acres down from Oliver and Osoyoos and a little bit in the Similkameen.
So, you brought. Let's talk about a couple of things that you brought to pour, and then we'll get to your red. The 2020 Viognier. I have always loved the Viognier there. Tell me about it.
It is Viognier. It's one of my nemesis grapes. I love the wine, but the making of it is always. It's such a challenging grape to work with. Underripe, it's so incredibly tannic. There's no other grape variety that holds so much tannin.
And why does one do it?
Because the wine can be so delicious. When you do get it right, it can be so delicious. So it's just a matter of being out there tasting the fruit all the time, making sure you're not, you know, you're trying to keep the sugars in check so the alcohol's not too high. You want that, a little bit of that oiliness, but trying to keep a little bit of acidity. It is such a difficult grape. Then on the winemaking side, you know, when we do make the pick decision, the fruit comes in, we keep things pretty simple. De-stem, straight to press, pressed off immediately, really, really limited skin contact to sort of tame the beast a little bit.
How did it turn out?
That's beautiful. I think for me, it has that great expression, the stone fruit, the apricot, the peach.
There's some wine fans out there that don't care what the winemaker has to go through. We just want to know what's in the bottle.
That's it. That's exactly right. Yeah. So sometimes we can trip ourselves up a little bit and get in our way.
Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church. The 2020 Unorthodox Shard.
Yes.
Now, the Unorthodox is a handle and a hook. But was it unorthodox? Did you play around with it?
It is. It's unorthodox in a couple of ways, in that the clone, so it's 100% Chardonnay Musquet. So it's not, if you taste it, it's not immediately, your mind doesn't go to Chardonnay right away. It still has, that Granny Smith apple and the lemon and the Chardonnay profile, but it also has the orange blossoms and spicy muscatty notes. So it is a very unorthodox expression of Chardonnay.
You're pouring the 2018 Syrah. Mm-hmm. That bottle aging, you like what it does?
Absolutely. It's we just released the 2018 not too long ago now, and it's great. A couple of years in bottle for the wine to sort of come together and relax a little bit. I think it's the rush from fermentation to barrel and 18 months later to bottle. It definitely benefits from a little bit of time to sort of breathe.
Speaking of time, the work of time, the 2018 Nectar of the Gods. Remind folks what that blend is.
So it is a Bordeaux blend, but an atypical Bordeaux blend. So it's
of course, it's you.
That's it. It's can't get out of my own way sometimes. Cab Sauv dominant, Petit Verdot second, and then Malbec making up just a smaller percent.
How much Petit Verdot?
I think it's 35%.
Oh, well done.
Yes.
See? Yeah. It's not a little 5% or 7%.
No, go for it. It's Petit Verdot. If it wants another difficult grape, underripe, it is. It's a bit of an animal. But if you can get it ripe, it brings so much to a blend in particular.
Did you guys do a single vineyard?
We do have single vineyard Petit Verdot as well. Holy moly!
What, like 5 bottles or what?
No, it's 200 cases. Okay. Yep. So we do. We work with a fair. If any chance I get it, Petit Verdot, I take it. It's you can't say no.
Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church. What did you bring to pour?
2018 Small Blessings Cabernet Sauvignon. So it's 100% Cab Sauv from our estate on the Skaha bench. The vines for this one, I think they're about 24 years old as of the 2018 vintage. So BC wise, it's those are considered older vines anyways, especially for Cab Sauv. So kind of at a nice spot in their life where the balance is there, they ripen up beautifully, hold that acidity, and then it's destemmed into 100% new French oak barrels. And then you seal the heads back up and onto the rolling racks. So we actually roll through fermentation and maceration. And then once it hits the time that we want to drain and press, we pop the heads out, scrape out the grapes, and drain and press it, and then put the heads back in and then refill those same barrels with that wine. So it's an incredible amount of labor, but it is a very different expression than you get going from tank to barrel. It's
what a nose. And as you were telling me that whole process you went through, I realized that sometimes when you do it and you love what you're doing, it's not work. You're actually waiting for the end product.
That's it. This is one of the ones where it's the reward is there at the end. It's in the bottle. It's you think back to the hours at harvest that you put into making it.
Right here.
It's classic for Cab Sauv, classic expression. Not necessarily a wine we'll make every year, because you do need, for that amount of labor, you have to make sure you have the right fruit for the task. It is a pretty intense fermentation style, so you need to make sure that you have ripe and you have balance and you have acidity. Otherwise, the fruit kind of disappears into the program.
Now, any surprises this year? Anything you're going to sneak in?
Oh, we'll have quite a few new wines again.
Tease us a bit.
We have three rosés coming, so we'll have our Blau Francish rosé, we'll have a Pinot Noir, Blanc de Noir, and a Refosco rosé. Just kind of playing around with different things, having some fun that way. And then as far as on-site experience goes, we have hopefully some food options coming this summer. We'll have a secondary tasting room for a bit more of like an elevated sit-down experience. We're going to have some area around the pool licensed and available, so we're going to have a lot going on.
None of which you can enjoy because you'll be working.
That's it. I just get to look down at all the people having the fun and wish it was me.
And do interviews downtown.
That's it, which is okay too.
What's it like being back in Vancouver?
It's great. It's all the things that there are to do, the places to eat, the things to drink, the things to see. It's nice to get back out in front of people again. It's been pretty isolating 2.5 years in an industry where generally you are, you know, you're out there with...
You're isolated anyway.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes. Absolutely perfect. Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church. Will there come a day, last question, will there come a day when we see your name on a label as your own expression?
Oh, possibly. It's something you think on a fair bit every now and then. But for now, pretty happy with where I'm at and what we're doing. So not for the time being.
Have a great year at Blasted Church. Great growing season. And what's your website?
BlastedChurch.com.
Thanks, Evan.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Evan Saunders, the winemaker at Blasted Church.
This is Tasting Room Radio.
I have with me from Bonamici Cellars in Okanagan Falls, Mario Rodi, who is the co-owner and is also the exalted chairman of the Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Winery Association.
Yeah, I think it's president of the association.
Will we see names added each year? Will we see Caledon added as a name? What are the plans?
Yeah, so Terry, the way the association works, and we actually did have a name change, because we're actually considered the Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Winery Association. Our view is we like to build community within our association, and we've extended to the other side of Skaha.
Just as a destination, how's it doing?
Yeah, I think as a destination, you know, we continue to see more and more traffic. So, Terry, what we refer to our area is as the heart of wine country.
Sure.
And the relevance of that whole thing is that that positioning is all about, it's about the beauty, the terroir, in the area, and it's about the diversity.
It's about
most
location,
importantly,
too.
Yes, and that's all encompassed in that area of that Skaha Lake and Okanagan Falls. The most important part of what we bring as an association are the people. And you know, in terms of, we've got a lot of owners involved, and then behind the owners, you know, you got the tremendous winemakers, the viticulturists, the people in the tasting room that are all doing a fantastic job as a community. So and it's a very supportive community, in that you'll have you know, wineries recommending other wineries in the area, because we have a really strong diversity in the area as well. Yes, we're known for Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, but we're also known for a lot of other varietals as well. You know, Syrah. And then, you know, even with Bonamici, we're planting Italian varietals. You know, Barbera and Sangiovese. So, and they all seem to grow well in that area. So there's a lot of nice diversity. So we support each other in terms of, you know, having all the wines that the consumer needs all in that one area.
You want to talk about Bonamici for a sec? I bet you do.
We can do that if you want. Yeah,
let's do that. Now, I see a quote from you. You make expressive wines, bright, fruit-forward, expressive wines, expressive of the people who made them and expressive of the land?
It's, you know, I'm going to say it's more expressive of what the vineyard has to offer. So our goal in terms of the wines we make is not about making big, bold wines, but when we talk about expressive, we want you to taste the flavors that are coming out of the vineyard. So we don't mask those flavors. Even in our reds, where, you know, we oak our reds like most people do, we're pretty light on the oak in terms of the oak that we use, because again, we don't want to mask the flavors that are coming out of that vineyard. So you will get more of that, you know, as we say, more expression of the vineyard when you do that.
Your partner, Philip Sue, is the consulting winemaker. He just makes wonderful wines.
He does, yeah. No, Phil has been a tremendous partner. Smart. And a great winemaker, is all I have to say.
You're pouring over, just around the corner from me, the 2020 Pinot Grigio.
Yes.
The 2020 Rosé, the 2019 Merlot Cab Franc, and the 2020 Cab Franc single. With the Pinot Grigio, it's just taken off like crazy.
Yeah, so Pinot Grigio, and of course, because we're an Italian-inspired winery, we do Pinot Grigio as opposed to Pinot Gris. And that's simply more the winemaking style. We finish the wine a little bit drier, usually a little higher level of acidity to it. And so that allows it to pair really well with food, which is really important in the Italian culture, in the Italian style of wine.
From Bonamici Cellars in Okanagan Falls, Mario Rodi, who is the co-owner. All right, how about the Merlot Cab Franc 2019?
Right. So the first red wine we made, actually it's 10 years ago. So the first red wine we made was a version of this wine. We did a Merlot Cab Franc back in 2012. Yeah. And that was the first red wine we made. We entered into the Lieutenant Governor's competition in 2014, and won one of 12. We were one of 12 recipients in the Lieutenant Governor's Award that year. So it was very exciting for us. Now the thing is, that wine has always sold well for us. So we've made that every year since 2012. And the 2019, in my view, is one of the nicest vintages that we've made so far.
Barrel aged, I love that. I'm a fan of Cab Franc. What do you bring to that expression?
Phil and I were in the winery one day and we're tasting. We tasted it on its own and we couldn't believe the beautiful spice and aromatics and the pepperiness that you were getting out of that Cab Franc. It was fabulous. So, and what's interesting about that is we've produced it 2 years in a row now. Each year it sells out. So we're pouring it at the table today. However, it's already sold for 2020. Yeah.
Okay. From Bonamici Cellars, Mario Rodi. Now, what did you bring to pour?
This is our flagship wine. It's our Bel Viaggio. Bel Viaggio simply means beautiful journey. Most of the time it is a beautiful journey. Sometimes it's not. But Bel Viaggio is our version of the Italian Super Tuscan wines. So this is a blend of four varietals, about 50% Cab Franc, then Merlot, then Syrah, and then Sangiovese in the blend, just like the Italian Super Tuscans. We're releasing this in May. We're bottling it right now. This is a barrel sample that we have here today.
Beautiful.
Yeah, fantastic. So we've been doing Bel Viaggio. We don't do it every year. You got to make sure that, you got a great vintage. It spends a lot of time in barrel as well. So four different varietals.
How proud are you of this wine?
Oh, it's our flagship wine. It's our number one wine.
It is.
Bel Viaggio is who we are at the end of the day. Yeah. It really is the inspiration for the label. The journey, if you will, the beautiful journey. And that's what, excites us about it. And so this wine here, like I said, we make it about every 2-3 years. This is probably the one that we're most excited about because we now have the Sangiovese in it. Right. So from our...
I think they need you back at the table. But this is an incredible bottle of wine, an incredible nose. I highly recommend. What's the price point?
This one here is $45. We think it's great value for a wine of its caliber.
Congratulations. What's your website?
Website, BonamiciCellars.com.
Have a great year.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
From Bonamici Cellars in Okanagan Falls, Mario Rodi, who is the co-owner.
The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Jason Parks Customs. Jason Parks Customs is a ragtag group of wineries, a cider house, and a brewery calling West Cullen a home. They are The Hatch, Black Sweat Vineyards, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59 Cider House, Smoke Show by JPC, and now open, The Hatching Post. I just got this note from Devlin Barker at The Hatch. We're doing a countdown in May to release 4 new wines at The Hatch each Friday. Just up the road from The Hatch and the first JPC foray into the world of craft beer has been an incredible success. You can find all the details at jpccustoms.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the wonderful Unsworth Restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com.
And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We are still at Terminal City Club in Vancouver. It's the 10th annual Okanagan Falls Skaha Lake Winery Association pour. More importantly, it's the first pour following the pandemic. And people are trying to remember how this all works, even though they've been doing it most of their life. But the first thing that Terry Meyer Stone did was pour me a glass of wine. Mayhem Wines pouring in the room and part of this association. How were your 2 years?
It's so great to be out, but when you say the 2 years, it seems like it was 10 or maybe a couple of decades.
Yeah, it was.
We survived. We did really well doing a little kind of pivot. So we did a lot of e-commerce. We did liquor stores did well, and now we're again shifting up because we get to see consumers. That's face to face.
And the businesses, the wineries that actually had a web presence did well, didn't they?
Yes. And we had started that. I mean, we're still, I would call us still a really new winery. We're 2.5 years. So we really were only 6 months in when the pandemic hit. And so, but we really had built that web presence right from the beginning and focused on that. So that was, yeah, we made it. We're here.
Terry Meyerstone, co-founder of Mayhem Wines. Remind people the distinction between Mayhem and Meyer family.
Yes. So Meyer is my brother, Jack Meyer, and his wife. And we're in partnership on Mayhem, my husband, Andrew Stone, and myself. And Meyer focuses on Burgundian, so Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. And Mayhem, we're kind of like an opportunistic winery. But we do aromatic whites, so our focus is really Pinot Gris, Sauv Blanc, Riesling, Rosé. And then we do a Cabernet Merlot is our red.
You're also approachable.
I like
there's
to think
no, there's nothing stuffy about it.
Yeah, we are approachable. We like, as AJ said, we do wines of character, but they're at an approachable price. They're clean, they're crisp, they never disappoint. They pair really well with food is what we wanted, is something that you could sit down, have at your table, enjoy with your food.
This Sauv Blanc, you know, before the scallop came along, was actually, it swept me off my feet. It's beautiful. Did you make a lot of it?
I wish we did. So 2021 was a really low production year for us, and the Sauv Blanc, there was a whole vineyard actually that we didn't get. So we had known that we wanted to do one that was a little bit more to the Sancerre style. So this one was actually aged in French oak. So 13% new, the rest neutral in these puncheons, as opposed to doing it in just stainless steel. And so I think that it's really delicious. It's been a really big hit today. Everybody loves it. But we have just a real small amount. So we call it small lot, Sauv Blanc.
How many years have you made it?
This is we had to skip a year. So this is our third year of doing the Sauv Blanc. And we sell out really fast. So.
Do you hold back some library just to see what happens to it in the bottle?
We've tried. If we can keep our winemaker out of there. If I can keep Jack out of the attic. We have tried to do that, yeah. But I know I opened one of the 18s, and it was fabulous. So I think this will age. If you can actually stop from drinking it, Terry. But,
oh, that's a good wine. That's a good. That's one of the problems right there. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the top of the page. 2021 Pinot Gris.
Yeah, so the Pinot Gris, I mean, it was an interesting year because it was so, so hot. And what happened is that we had low production, smaller berries, but you got this really intense fruit in all of our wines. So they're super flavorful with lots of character. Pinot Gris comes from Naramata Bench. And it's a single vineyard. It's quite delicious. Yeah.
The 2021 Rosé.
The Rosé is, so Meyer makes 100% Pinot Noir Rosé, and ours is 100% Merlot. So that's our difference, yeah. And is it competitive? A tiny
bit. Just a bit.
Just a tad. Yeah, that's right, yeah. And this one, I would say, the interesting characteristics, you get a little bit of sagebrush. And then the strawberry finish, like long, but it's lean, and it's this beautiful, light, you know, a la Provence.
That's what I was going to ask. I didn't know what color you were pouring.
Very pale, like it's a very pale, not as pale, yeah, almost a salmon, but lighter, yeah.
But that's what we want, isn't it?
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I mean, that's
what I'm drawn to, and I think most are.
Yeah.
Terry Meyerstone from the Land of Three Named People, co-founder of Mayhem Wines. So the rosé, price point, do you know the price point?
The rosé retails at $24.
I do that as a public service. The 2020 Cab Merlot.
Yes, so the 2020 Cab Merlot, actually we have two out in the marketplace right now, the 19 and 20. So each of them are a tiny bit different, and biggest difference is percentage of Cab Franc. So the 19 has about 28% Cab Franc. The 20 is about 11% Cab Franc, two different growing years. So I would say the 19 is a tiny bit more elegant, maybe, and the 20 has more muscle.
I'd be intrigued to see what's happened to that wine in the year that it's been in bottle, or 2 years it's been in bottle.
Yeah, I would show
I'd
it
love to
you.
Know. I would love to know.
it softens, the tannins soften, the flavors like to start dancing together. It's yeah, it always does. My problem is I just can't keep it that long. So I keep thinking I'll keep some bottles to try them over. Yeah.
Terry Meyerstone of Mayhem Wines. Are you pouring anything under the table?
I do have something under the table. Yeah.
Is it like a tank thing or what is it?
So I have a 2021 Anarchy Merlot. $40 a bottle. Beautiful gold label. And that isn't even released yet. So late summer, early fall. And I have a little bit of fortified Gewurztraminer under the table, too. If you want to come over to my table after.
I will. I'll trip over. Okay. Yes. What's your website?
It is mayhemwines.com.
Terry Meyerstone from the Land of Three Named People, co-founder of Mayhem Wines. We talked about the 2021 Pinot Gris, Rosé, Sauv Blanc, yes, and the 2020 Cab Merlot. We'll send her on her way and go and find her. They're fun people. You'll like them a lot.
Can I say one more thing? We are building a tasting room at Meyer Family Vineyards, our very own at Mayhem, so come this summer.
So previously, did you just do it in the parking lot?
Yeah, basically, you know, back of my car.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Terry. Thank you.
Terry Meyerstone, co-founder of Mayhem Wines.
You're listening to Tasting Room Radio.
Tasting Room Radio, year 17, I think. Rather than try to get up to Okanagan Falls, Skaha Lake, Culloden, they have come here to Vancouver for their annual pour for Okanagan Falls and the Culloden Winery Association. It's fantastic. It's the first pour. I have the man who runs and conceived of Meyer Family Wines, along with Janice Stevens, Jack Meyer, has joined me. How are things over the table?
Ah, it's great. It's just nice to be out again, seeing people, forgotten what to do. I had to dust off my dress shoes to this, come to this event.
But I never did find mine. How did you handle those 2 years?
Shockingly well. You know, I remember in March of 2020, we actually immediately put out a call for people who wants to buy some bulk wine, because I thought it was going to be a disaster. I wish I had never done that. It turned out that people just decided to drink a lot for COVID. We lost all our restaurant business for a while. We lost all of our tasting room business for a while. But the buying at home more than made up for that.
The public came through.
Public came through very well.
But you couldn't have known that.
No. How would you know that? And, you know, in hindsight, our decision to really focus on a wine club, and we've got a lot of members, and we started that kind of 6 years before, and that just paid off in spades for us. That was great.
Jack Meyer, Meyer Family Wines, has joined me. I have a ton of questions for you. I'll get to that wine in just a second. I'm dying to try that wine. Will we see a Pinot Challenge this year?
Cool. As it turns out, yes, but but it's got nothing to do with us. So we kind of threw in the flag. We had gained so much momentum, and it was going so well with the celebration of BC Pinots. I think we had 400 people coming to the last event at UBCO, and something like 38 wineries, but it was all volunteer work, and it just took, kind of drained us not being able to do it and to try and start up from scratch. But one of the islands, Avril Creek, has decided to put on
Noir Fest. I saw that came
Noir
out today.
Fest.
It
yeah.
came out today.
So we're super happy to be going there pouring. I know there's a couple of wineries from Ontario, and then about five or six BCs from different areas, and I think maybe a couple from Oregon, maybe.
Very nice, very nice. It's a good thing that you set in motion there. All right. Meyer Family Vineyards, Janice Stevens. Is Janice here? Yes.
Janice is here, but she's manning the
busy.
Table.
Yeah. What'd you bring to pour here?
This is our sort of mainstay product. It's our Okanagan Valley Pinot. It's our largest production. It's from our vineyard in Culloden that we purchased, that's 4 acres of Pinot Noir, as well as a few contract vineyards that we have. And so grapes can come from one of five or six, a blend of five or six different vineyards around that we have contracts. But, you know, the problem with contracts, they come and go. We had a vineyard in Naramata just last year. Those people sold it, and the new buyers took the contract. So The problem with contract vineyards, you never know how long you're going to have them. You can't. It's hard to make a basis out of it. So this blend of vineyards can change each year. But what we've always tried to do is just make a really good, solid BC Pinot at a great price. And we nail it. It's our top-selling wine. The price is great. A great representation of a BC Pinot at a great price. That's kind of our goal. It's our entry-level Pinot. It's one of really six different Pinots that we make now. Meyer Family Vineyards really just does Chardonnay and Pinot Noir now. We do six Chardonnays, six Pinot Noirs, a Pinot Noir Rosé, Sparkling that's Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and about 280 cases of Gewurztraminer, and that's it these days.
Jack Meyer, Meyer Family Wines, has joined me. Are you Jack Meyer? Are you authorized to actually open that bottle?
I can give it a whirl.
Remember how that works?
Well,
remember the sound.
There we go. There's the bottle.
Now, one of the things about a Pinot Noir,
yeah,
is that when you source from four or five or six different vineyards, Do you make them separately, blend at the end, or do you crush them together? What's the decision?
No, we keep every vineyard separate. So they get processed and then put into barrel. Typically, these are all older season barrels, so there's only about 10% new oak in this particular Pinot. And then we can make decisions. If there was something we didn't like in one vineyard, we may even sell that juice off. But we do the blending of it sort of based on that. But generally, the vineyards we have, one is our own, one is my sister's, one is a contract vineyard we've had for 12 years now. And then there's a couple others that have sort of fluctuated. But, you know, pretty solid growers. We have great arrangements with them, and they're very interested in giving us good fruit as much as, you know, just making a buck out of it.
Let me double back to the Pinot Noir celebration, a gathering of Pinot makers and so many different styles and takes on what a Pinot was. What did you take away from all that?
I don't know if it was taking away from as much as the reason why we started it. And I guess our belief is that Pinot Noir and Chardonnay and a number of other varietals that are earlier ripening, cooler climate varietals that really are well suited, especially for sort of mid Okanagan to northern Okanagan, because it's cooler. And we forget we're in Canada, and you know, it does turn to snow, and there is a frost. So we've just seen time and time again that Pinot Noirs can really, really stand out in the valley. There's some unbelievably good Pinot Noir makers these days and winemakers, and we just wanted to be able to celebrate that, as well as celebrate the different styles and the different regions where you've got Pinot now from Kamloops and Lillooet and the Island and down in the Kootenays and, you know, all these different places. But at one place where Pinot Noir lovers could come together and get taste them all side by side, basically.
So just a reminder from Meyer Family Vineyards, a 2020 McLean Creek Pinot Noir, the 2020 McLean Creek Chardonnay, 2020 Okanagan Valley Pinot Noir, and the 2021 Gewurztraminer are being poured here. Now, one more thing about the Okanagan Valley Pinot Noir implies that those grapes come from various sources?
Yes. I mean, within the Okanagan Valley, they come from those multiple vineyards.
Do you think maybe somewhere down the way we'll find a Pinot Noir blend that actually has 30% Sinocamine, 30% Naramata Bench, and 30% Meyer Creek that comes together to form one sort of super Pinot?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dreaming?
Yeah, I think I'd be surprised. To us, the ones that are most interesting are the single vineyard Pinots, and that's all of our, this is our entry level Pinot, and then going up, they're all single vineyard or single block. Just, you know, maybe treat a little bit different with the oak component, but those ones are always more interesting to us because they really show the terroir of the land that it comes from.
You guys have earned all of the fans and club members and adulation and awards that have come your way. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Jack Meyer, Meyer Family Wines.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. Here's some info you can use if you're planning to visit our friends at Unsworth. The tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the wonderful Unsworth restaurant is open Wednesday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. The segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. They have a new vintage alert, the 2021 Unoaked Pinot Gris, now available. Easter dinner for two, braised lamb shank, risotto, mustard demi-glace, wild asparagus, preserved lemon with bistro salad, and a bottle of Hillside Pinot Noir. And it's all available for takeout. And you want to check out the Easter six-pack on their website. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.
Terry David Mulligan, Tasting Room Radio. Details at mulliganstew.ca. Check out the website, mulliganstew.ca, because all the information you need about these wines and these folks can be found there. Now, Nighthawk. I saw the birth of Nighthawk Vineyards because I knew Daniel Bibby from the hotel business. And then, strangely enough, I met Christy, his wife. But now we're at a pour many years later in Vancouver at Terminal City Club. And there's a third baby shown up. It's Dakota. And all of a sudden, sitting down in the chair is Dakota Bibby for a first interview. Did they tell you you were going to do this?
Yeah, they told me about 5 minutes before, so I got a little bit of notice, but throwing me...
Have you been trained in media?
Not so much. I've done a few interviews over the years, but it's fairly new.
Dakota Bibby is with me from Nighthawk Vineyards. His mother and father are in the room, but they sent him, run him under the bus, and let's see how he does. Let's go and send him over and talk to Mulligan. Your father was in the hotel business. Were you at one point going to be in the hotel business? And when you got into the wine business, did you think, I don't want to do that either?
Well, so I started getting into it. I thought I wanted to be a chef for the longest time. And I started working at Summerhill when I was a young teenager. Worked in the kitchen there, thought that might be interesting, and then realized that I needed to get out of kitchens real quick. So yeah, I saw all the guys down in the cellar, saw all the bottling going on, and thought that might be something interesting to try. So.
And what got your attention? What did you like about it?
It was really, I was working in the kitchen one time right around harvest, and all the fermentations were starting, and it was just all the smells and everything going on, seeing all the barrel washing and everything going. So it was just, it was really interesting, everything that I was seeing.
You didn't mind ruining shoes?
No, actually I was really excited about just kind of getting in, getting dirty.
So are these your wines?
Yeah, so we've brought, pretty much all of them that we've brought this time are mine, other than the 2017 Gewurztraminer. That was the year before I started with Nighthawk.
Dakota, did you learn on the job, or did you take courses?
So I went to school for winemaking and viticulture at the Okanagan College, and then worked with a bunch of winemakers around the valley before I ended up coming back to the family farm.
And which classroom did you like better?
What was it?
No, but I mean, did you like being in the classroom or being in the cellar?
Oh, I really enjoyed being in the cellar. I found that I learned twice as much working in a season in a cellar than I did in a classroom, but tons of information going through the college there.
Dakota, did your parents know that you were going to change the winery?
Not really, no. I don't know that they quite expected it, but we all kind of got into it. They wanted to start a vineyard. I happened to be getting into winemaking and viticulture right around the same time, so it worked out perfectly.
What'd you bring to pour?
So we brought the 2019 Merlot for you to try. So this one spent about 18 months in French oak, about 35% new oak on there as well, but really nice and fruit forward.
What about working with Merlot?
Working with Merlot is actually really interesting. A lot of people find it's not the most interesting grape in the world. But it's got a lot of versatility. You can make it really fruit forward. You can make it a little bit heavier for long-term aging. You can blend it away.
And what do you think that we want from a Merlot? We want to bang you in the head, Merlot, or what do we want?
Well, so for us, we're typically trying to get a little bit more out of the fruit. The vineyard we've been working with has some extremely nice terroir. So we really want to respect the fruit whenever we're going forward with anything.
Favorite pairing?
Favorite pairing for Merlot?
I want a Bolognese. I want to run out and get some pasta right now.
Yeah. It's a fantastic pasta wine. We have a kind of an outdoor vineyard kitchen that we've been we just opened last year. But we're doing pizzas and everything out there, and pairs perfectly with the Merlot.
All right, so you're pouring the 2017 Gewurztraminer, the 2020 Pinot Noir, the 2019 Merlot, the 2018 Cab Franc, and the winemaker's reserve Gewurztraminer. Tell me about you and Goo.
Gewurztraminer is our largest lot that we make. We have about 5 acres total growing on the property. So we've been making it a more traditional style, a little bit of residual sugar, stainless steel, fermented, everything like that for the longest time. In 2020, we decided to do something a little bit different. So we had a little bit of extra Gewurztraminer, so played around with it, chucked it into a couple of barrels. I think that one was about 5% new oak, so not a ton on there. But really nice tertiary characteristics coming through. It went through about 40% malolactic fermentation as well. So just something a little different, a little interesting.
Gulpable?
It is quite gulpable.
2020 Pinot Noir. How about you and Pinot, the heartbreak grape?
Well, Pinot Noir, I mean, we have such a nice vineyard. Tons of limestone and quartz throughout the soils there. We got a really nice high elevation vineyard as well, so we retain a lot of acidity. So really nice fruit coming off of there. And lots of kind of violets, a little bit more of the cherry notes coming out as well for most vintages. But it's really what age can do to our Pinot Noir that we get really excited about.
Is it a policy at Nighthawk to hold back the Cab Franc?
Actually, no. We typically make it in a little bit lighter of a style, so a little bit more approachable when it's younger. But still lots of acidity, a little nice tannins on there as well, so it's really nice for laying down.
What's happened to that 2018?
In
the bottle.
Oh, the 2018 in the bottle. Since we bottled it, 2018 was a little bit more challenging of the year, so a little higher acidity for that one. But the acidity is really softening, and a lot more of that ripe fruit is coming out at the moment, which is fantastic.
So what you thought winemaking was and the reality of what it is, are they different?
A little bit. I mean, I grew up in a food and wine household. My dad was a chef for a long time. My parents are both extremely experimental with everything they do. So, I mean, like, pairing food and wine has just always been a thing. So I knew a little bit about that side coming into it. As soon as I started learning more and more about it, I just kept getting more and more excited.
The future of the Okanagan Valley right here, my friends. Let's do a quick pairing. You the chef for a second. The 2017 Goo.
2017 Goo, really nice with Thai food, any sort of spicy dishes that goes fantastic with.
2020 Pinot Noir.
My favorite pairing right now is actually smoked duck. My brother's been making a lot of that recently.
2019 Merlot pairing.
2019 Merlot, I mean, you said it, bolognese, pizza, pasta, any sort of thing like that.
The 2018 Cab Franc.
That one is a little bit tougher, but honestly, venison tartare is perfect.
And the Winemaker's Reserve Goo.
Winemaker's Reserve Goo, I haven't found a bad pairing for it, but honestly, the perfect pairing that I've found is cheesecake.
Cheesecake?
Yeah, just classic cheesecake. It's fantastic.
But good cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's got to be fantastic.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Dakota Bibby, first interview on Tasting Room Radio. We may never see his mom and dad again if Dakota shows up with the wines. Nighthawk, what's your website?
Our website is nighthawkvineyards.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Have you schooled your mom and dad on Facebook and Instagram and everything else?
they come to me for a lot of questions, but we got somebody else that handles that.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. They have a new vintage alert, the 2021 Unoaked Pinot Gris, now available. Easter dinner for two, braised lamb shank, risotto, mustard demi-glace, wild asparagus, preserved lemon with bistro salad, and a bottle of Hillside Pinot Noir. And it's all available for takeout. And you want to check out the Easter six-pack on their website. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca.